Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Meán with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
This is Track O'Brien on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, and this is the second part of this month's Ours to Protect feature. Last week we looked at what causes climate change, and we also met up with the environmental group Fash Forward. This week we're meeting up with Blackthorn Ecology founder George Smith, and I started off by asking him what changes he's noticed over the last few years in our ecosystem.
Yeah, well, in terms of climate change, I work mostly with plants, and so they tend to move a bit slower and respond a bit slower to climate change. Where I've noticed changes, you know, with respect to climate change is the more mobile animals, like birds and butterflies.
Yeah.
There are certain birds and butterflies that we're seeing a lot more now that are moving up the south, and others are coming under pressure, you know, from climate change. For example, corncrake has suffered, you know, in part because of climate change. They used to be, you know, abundant along the Shannon, but with increases in flooding in the summertime along the river, corncrake, you no longer find them along the Shannon anymore. There's changes in their behavior, the patterns, you know, ones that used to come and spend, used to come here. Now don't have to come so far south anymore. They're wintering maybe a little further north.
Okay.
But then you also have other species that are moving in from the south, like little egret, for example. There's tall white bird. They look like herons. They used to be very rare in Ireland about 20 years ago. And now, you know, you see them all over the place. You get them around Lough Ree, Lough Ool, places like that, you know, in the Midlands of Ireland. But of course, you know, if you have climate change or habitat loss and things like that, then you're going to get less of these butterflies and less of the ladybirds and things like that. That's one thing that I've noticed a lot, and that a lot of people noticed, is that when I was a kid, you know, I'm you know, over 50 years old at this stage. When I was a kid driving around with my dad, we'd have to stop the car all the time just to wash the windshield, you know, because you get bugs spattered all over the windshield. That hardly happens anymore. You know, just the amount of bugs, you know, has decreased, you know, and a large amount of that is because of habitat loss. You know, we've lost, you know, a lot of the good habitats that, you know, that the insects rely on, especially a lot of the wet habitats, you know, because of drainage, conversion from one land use to another, you know, whether it's, you know, your scruffy fields. That's one thing that I notice a lot of, you know, when I'm traveling the country, you know, and I'm doing work, you know, that a lot of these kind of, you know, little scruffy fields, a lot of hedgerows, you know, a lot of wildflowers in them, we're losing them to, you know, either to development or because the land is being, you know, improved for, you know, dairy pasture or some other agricultural enterprise, you know. You know, all these different things, you know, are having an impact, you know, on our biodiversity.
And talking about wetlands and peat and the bog, why is the bog so important ecologically?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do a lot of work on bogs these days, on bog restoration. And bogs are very important because they're a very especially unique habitat. You know, I'm from the United States. I'm from Tennessee. We have nothing like bogs at all there, you know. And so when I came out onto Irish bogs, you know, the first time, it completely blew my mind. You know, this completely alien landscape, you know, in most parts of the world. So they're a very special sort of landscape that Ireland really has a sort of a special responsibility to sort of look after them, you know, because they are so rare, you know, in a lot of places. And they're very rare, and they're very, very harsh environments as well. They're very wet. They're very nutrient poor. They get all the water from the rain. There's not much nutrition in the rainwater, and they're very, very acidic. And so only a certain small group of plants and insects can live in bogs.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's home to a lot of really specialist and a lot of really rare creatures.
And we're just sitting in your office here. There's a picture behind you, Tina Claffey picture, who does these amazing photographs from the bog. And it does bring to life the amount of colour that's in the bog that people don't realise is there, because maybe these insects are quite small. But there's an amazing array of colours in the bog.
There is, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Like, from a distance, they can look brown and sort of, you know, depressing. But when you get in and get close, you can see just an amazing array of colors, an amazing array of things. You know, the sphagnum mosses, the bog mosses themselves can be, you know, bright red or bright yellow, all sorts of lovely different colors. And then, as you say, you know, the insects, you know, one of the things that you find on bogs a lot is the green hairstreak butterfly. It's a really bright, bright, vivid green. Then you have lichens as well. Some of them look like, you know, white mounds of snow, and others, they're called devil's matchsticks.
Okay.
Look, as it says, like a matchstick sticking out of the ground, bright red top on them. You know, so there's a fabulous, you know, array of things. You just have to really, you know, slow down and start looking.
And ecologically speaking, with the bog, and maybe as far as carbon, how important is it in storing carbon? Because that's the big thing about it, isn't it?
Yeah, bogs are very important for storing carbon. They've built up for, you know, the past 10,000 years in the Midlands, and they've accumulated carbon for that length of time in the form of peat. And so when that peat is harvested and burned, that peat gets released, you know, into the atmosphere. But even when people stop cutting turf and walk away from it, the drains are still left in there, and those drains keep drying out the bog.
Okay.
And then the bog is decomposing because it's no longer wet and accumulating peat. And so all the carbon that's stored, you know, in the peat is breaking down and releasing the carbon up into the atmosphere again.
So you work with bog restoration, or you've experienced that. What's involved in trying to get that drainage system working again?
Well, the most important thing with bog restoration is getting the hydrology right, getting the water right. Mm-hmm. You want to raise the water table, you know, as much as possible, and you do that by blocking drains. The simplest way is to get a digger out onto the bog, and to, you know, dig peat from a particular area and pack it into the drains, making dams, you know, at intervals, so that you block the flow of water off the bog. In some places, you might have to be a bit more intensive and actually create bunds and berms, low dams, to kind of stop the flow of water across the bog as well. So getting the hydrology right is the most important thing. And so, you know, doing, you know, bog restoration work is important on the areas of bog that we have left.
Yeah.
But it's also very important on areas that have been cut, you know, for turf, because if you can get the hydrology right on those, then on the cutover bog, then you can get bog habitats developing again. And even Bordemona on their industrial cutaway, where they have a lot of times cut the peat down to such a depth you can't really get bog. It's not suitable for bog to regenerate.
Okay.
But if you raise the water levels there, block the drains, build berms and things, you can get a whole different array of wetland habitats and woodland habitats developing there as well. And those are important for biodiversity too. I suppose the water storage capacity of bogs is very important as well, because bogs are sort of natural sponges, mm-hmm. and they hold the water in. And if you have a good, healthy bog, it holds the water in and slowly releases it. Where if a bog is drained, then all the water shoots down the drains after a rainfall event. And that can lead to flooding downstream as well. And I think, you know, in some of the river systems, the Shannon and the Suck and places like that, that's probably contributing to the flooding problems that we've seen. Whereas if we restore the bogs, then it will store the water all you know, nicely in the bog and release it more slowly in a more controlled fashion, so that you don't get these big pulses of floodwaters escaping.
And something I'd recommend, I think it's just for people to go, if they don't know much about the bog, if they haven't spent much time at the bog, go out and go. There's walks all over the country. Wonderful walks.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm in the Midlands of Ireland. We've got several bog walks around here. Clara Bog is possibly the oldest and best known. There's a lovely walk around Clara. And they've extended the walking route, so you can walk just right from the middle of the village, over the Esker and into the bog and around. There are bog walks in Cloncrow Bog outside Tyrrell's Pass, in Furban Bog as well, and then Scraw Bog outside Mullingar. Mm. Although Scraw Bog, despite the name, is actually not quite a bog. It's a fen. It's what's called a transition mire. It's a fen on its way to becoming a bog. And that's another completely fascinating habitat.
And these are places that are laid out for families to walk. I mean, they're absolutely geared at that. These all have boardwalks over the land that you can actually look down. And as my kids have found out, they start seeing frogs everywhere. They couldn't believe the amount of frogs.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, there's boardwalks there, and there are more being developed all the time. And even in some of the greenways that have been developed and cycle tracks, you know, you can come, you know, come next to or near the bog. So if you take the greenway between Mullingar and Athlone, it passes right next to a couple of different bogs as well near Athlone that you can get good views over. And then Bord na Mona are busily working away converting some of their old railways that they used for extracting the peat, turning those into cycleways and walking routes as well. And so you can see, you know, all the different array of wetland habitats are developing there as well.
George Smith from Blackthorn Ecology, thank you very much for your time.
Right. Thanks very much for having me.
That's George Smith there from Blackthorn Ecology. Aris to Protect will be back next week at the same time, when we'll be looking at greenwashing and we'll be chatting with Alex Coster from rootsandwings.ie. That's Aris to Protect on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, Traco Brainon, next Sunday evening at 9:15.
Aris to Protect is funded by Comisiú na Meán with the television licence fee and is a partnership between Ireland's Classic Hits Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Check out aristoprotect.ie for more information.